Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better, and everybody do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Wednesday, game day edition of the program as the Tennessee basketball team gets set to tip it off tonight from Thompson Bowling Arena. It's 3 and Out, Nate Hodges.
FAMU.
That's Houston Kress.
FAMU.
FAMU.
Florida A&M University.
Okay, fair enough. There's that. What do you do with the and symbol in there?
Just
though?
Goes away.
Okay.
No, man.
Disappears. All right. Fair enough. Tennessee and Florida A&M tonight. Today's game day edition brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. We got Davey Hudson. We got Billy Williford. Maybe a big basketball show. We also have college football to get into as well. College football playoff rankings came out. Anybody angry? Does it seem like the...
Yeah, why aren't the Vols in the top four?
Oh.
We won 6 out of 7. We're hot as a pistol.
Yeah.
No.
Ohio State remained at number 1. LSU, 2. Clemson, 3. Georgia, 4. Utah moved up 1 spot to 5. Oklahoma, 1 spot to 6. Baylor up 2 to 7. Wisconsin up 4 to 8, then Florida, Penn State, Auburn, Alabama, Oregon. I'll stop there since those are all the teams that matter that are playing this weekend.
Obviously, and we thank you.
Obviously, Oregon up to Wisconsin cannot make the top four, but those teams could definitely play spoiler, meaning Wisconsin and Oregon. Does it seem like the Big Ten somehow passed the SEC in terms of credibility at some point during this season with the committee?
Yeah, to make sure Ohio State stays at number 1.
Why? I saw Clay Travis tweet about that. Why does the committee care if Ohio State's at 1?
What did Clay say?
He said exactly what you said.
Oh.
He said that they've put Alabama – well, he didn't – he got into that secondly – he said they're keeping Wisconsin, they're keeping the teams that Ohio State's beaten as high as possible.
Yeah.
Even Wisconsin, who they would beat again, so that when they justify Ohio State staying at number 1, they can say, yep, they've got losses inside the top 12 or what, top 11 or what, top 10.
Do you think it's staying at the top spot or just staying within the playoff altogether?
If they lose, I think he made that point too.
No, that's what it is. It's if they were to somehow lose to Wisconsin, there's no way they'll drop out. And I think it's the same with LSU as well, which is why they have Georgia so high. Keep in mind, Georgia's lone loss is to South Carolina a team Clemson just absolutely stroked at South Carolina. So Clemson's getting kind of punished for a bad schedule and not rewarded for pummeling South Carolina. Georgia's getting rewarded for a difficult schedule and not punished for losing to said horrible South Carolina team.
Is there any chance that Clemson loses to Virginia and still makes the playoff?
I don't think so. I think the committee has basically said Clemson is out with a loss, whereas LSU and Ohio State are in. I think if Clemson loses to Virginia,
I mean
they're done.
They need a lot of help at that point. They need like Utah and Oklahoma both to lose, and
yeah, they'd have to have just crazy, crazy stuff
too.
And Georgia lose, yeah.
Yeah, if Georgia wins, the SEC's getting two in.
Should.
I think, are we the only conference right now with a chance at two?
Should Greg Sankey just pay Ed Orgeron to take a dive? Get the double teams in. Like, look, Ed, your team.
You want me to do what?
Your team's been the best all year.
Oh, that's a lot of gumbo.
Think about it. If you get to your if you get your looses out of the way, then your team will be refocused for the playoffs.
You're making jokes. They were right, though. The VFLers.
Same. True.
I mean, we do talk about this in basketball. Like, do you really want to have won, like, 20 in a row heading into the SEC tournament?
Good late loss. Refocus the boys.
It does. So, LSU, you take a dive.
Thank you, Billy. Thanks, Billy.
I mean, basically, if you drop to four, you're just playing the national championship game in round one instead of round two. You just knock off the best team right out of the gate, and then it's a cakewalk in the championship.
I mean, don't we all want to see LSU Ohio State at some point?
You just get it early.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Clemson could go to two.
Okay, they're not taking a dive.
Georgia could go to three, LSU four, or vice versa.
I don't want Georgia in this. I don't think Georgia's worthy of being in this. I can't believe they're at four. I can't believe it.
I don't either. I hope LSU beats them by 50.
I guess they do have three wins in the top 15.
I hope LSU beats them by 50, or Georgia either gets a big lead and chokes it away, because conservative Kirby. Don't F up the field goal, Kirby. I swear he said that one time in that A&M game, and it almost cost him the game. Because
he said that to some player?
On the headset. He was talking to the coaches in the boot and like the play
How
caller.
How would they met? Okay, whatever.
They had gotten into field goal range, and they were up one score.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and he was...
Don't F it up. He also said, how about them effing dogs?
He did.
In a presser. Guy's classless. He's a clown.
So, like a second 26 moment, I'd love another one of those. Maybe something.
That's what you'd want? I want him to just get heart crushed.
No, I said,
I'm talking like 50-0.
I said that was my second option.
That's number one.
That was number one. I'm with you. Just like, oh, man, we're so far away. Like we've backed up. Like we're one play away from winning the title. Now we're a whole, like, can't even match up.
That'd be kind of awesome. Just the proof that they're going backwards.
I do feel like this is a really bad matchup for Georgia.
I feel like anybody against LSU is a pretty bad matchup, frankly.
Yeah, I just mean like...
I mean, Ohio State is fine, but outside of Ohio... I mean, I guess maybe Clemson. I don't know. I still think Clemson's got a chance to come into this thing and look really, really good.
Don't you think don't you think LSU, no matter how good your defense is, though, it's going to score some points?
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty...
As long as Burrow's out there healthy, they're going to move the ball, they're going to score points. That's not
And that's up Georgia's for debate. Problem. Like, they just... They're not good. They're not quite good enough running the football to be like those Georgia teams that would just run, 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 control the clock. You never get the ball. Like, they're gonna stall out on some possessions, and I just feel like once LSU starts scoring, it might be a little tougher than it's been against other defenses, because Georgia defense is really good. But once they start scoring, I just don't know how Georgia keeps up. But anyway, so if Georgia loses, the committee has said, at least to this point, Utah is ahead of Oklahoma.
Yes.
But is Baylor at 7 versus Oregon at 13?
Enough to, if both teams win, Oklahoma jumps Utah. I'm going to say yes.
Well, and Clay brought up another great point, is Oklahoma just beat Oklahoma State by double digits, and Oklahoma State managed to stay in the top 25. So if both Utah and Oklahoma win, Oklahoma has that – top 25 win over Oklahoma State now. Conspiracy theory.
Setting up the
Oklahoma jump.
The old Pac-12 leapfrog. No, Utah, you had a chance. You weren't impressive enough. Sorry. Sorry for your troubles.
Maybe Oregon should take the dive and lose by like 40 to Utah and say, hey,
That actually might happen.
Next time we're in this position.
That is something the Pac-12 would have to
pay us back.
If they're not talking about that in windowless rooms this morning, I got nothing for them. Because they are the one conference right now that's like, what do we do? What do we do? That's what you do. Oregon, lose by 50. And Utah make the statement game. They'd still probably be like, no, we're hopping Oklahoma right over there.
Yeah, you gotta somehow like who was that had the flu this past? The Seahawks had the flu.
Patriots had the flu.
Maybe you try and
Patriots had two planes fly down to Houston, one with players that had the flu and ones that did not have the flu.
They really took two planes?
Yes.
I knew it was
bad. Didn't really matter.
It didn't matter. Well, I mean, it didn't matter because they had the flu.
Maybe some students.
Maybe if they were healthy.
One of these teams is going to try and infiltrate, pass the flu to one of the other teams.
Pretty good little move, really. Just walk over with like one of those little vials and just.
I mean, it's just the flu. They're not going to die, you know? It's kind of the perfect.
People die from the flu.
Yeah, usually.
What?
I don't know.
What were you going to say? Usually kids and old people?
Kids, elderly.
You just called these kids, right?
Yeah.
Or did you call them students?
No.
What'd you say?
I don't remember.
You said dyslexics?
Yeah.
Why dyslexics?
I said students. What?
It's for the In the Break podcast.
Well, then let's try to keep that in the break. I think I know where you're going with this. We'll save
continue.
It for the In the Break podcast that doesn't exist. It's a four-man podcast that only four people listen to, and it's the four people that do the podcast.
He gets four impressions every day.
Wasn't even an impression.
I think he means like...
Like when you listen to it.
Yeah.
He gets four like impressions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were like saying like you do a different
Danny's
impression.
Very awake.
Right.
Very awake.
Right. I'm about to be.
If you'd like,
wasabi in
if you'd like to sponsor the In the Break podcast, it gets 80 listens a month.
We might send Billy to the grocery store.
Forget it again?
Yep.
Houston! You've actually forgotten two things this year. And
what was the first one?
And like...
You lied about the first
one. You faked forgetting the pickles.
Oh, yeah. What was the first one?
The onion.
The onion.
You made him go get the onion. Because he was so confused. He didn't know yellow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Onion. That was weeks ago.
Okay, I wasn't confused. I was just making sure I was going to get the right one.
Didn't you send me a text that said I never shop?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I was confused.
Oh, look at all. There's red, there's white, there's brown and yellow. What do I do here? It's an onion. Yeah, wasabi. Forgot it.
You forgot wasabi?
I don't know. Wasn't going
I confirmed with you yesterday you were gonna pick it up.
You did not what are you talking about?
You even said
out there.
As you walked out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get that wasabi.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant like later.
No.
Time had passed. Things had happened. The day wore on. Sorry, I forgot to go steal wasabi.
Wait, you're gonna steal it?
You don't pay for it. It's a little packet. It just comes with your sushi. Do I have to buy sushi?
Just gonna make him do this tomorrow?
No, he can do it today. There's a food city right down the street. Billy will be there and back. Lickety split.
Right.
Or I can go. Doesn't matter. Do you guys want to do a segment without me? Davey does. He always does. We'll think about it. Maybe we can have someone deliver it.
Do you think Alabama's too low at 12? That's what everybody's talking about. Let's just jump right to it.
No. Two losses. One's recent. Auburn's not that good. They're not bad. But, no, I don't have a problem with that.
Here's what I think. I think Auburn, with three losses, the highest you could really put them is 11. And because they just beat Alabama, the committee's like, it looked kind of
weird.
Yeah,
you can't have Alabama. I mean, I guess technically you could. That's what I really don't understand. I mean, I get that Auburn won at home, but it did take two pick sixes and a lot of weird things happening. I have no problem with anybody out there saying right now, I still think Alabama's better than Auburn. That was a weird game. That wasn't Auburn just rolling up 45-15 or something. Like that was a back-and-forth game.
I mean,
two pick sixes, one of which was off the back elbow. Like, it was a lot of weird stuff.
Malzahn even talked about it. Like, they're the big underdog. Even after the game, he's like, we said if we get this in the fourth quarter, we could win it. I mean, I think if they played on a neutral field, Alabama, who was a 4-point favorite in the first game, would probably be 2.5
in
the second.
Auburn was the better team that day. That doesn't mean that if they played 100 times, Auburn's going to win all of them. I get it. People are complaining about Bama being at 12. I don't have a problem with them being at 12, and I don't have a problem if you think they should be 8, 9, 10.
I mean, Wisconsin at 8 is what Clay Travis was complaining about. They lost to Illinois.
And
Ohio State.
Yeah.
And it wasn't
so
close.
So does the difference between having Tua start and then going to Mac Jones knock Bama out of the top 10 if you were to kind of try to put everything in perspective?
I mean, I think it could, but they also, with Mac Jones playing poorly and pretty good, they, I mean, probably should have beat Auburn.
You didn't get to watch it, right? Because you were at the Tennessee game?
Yeah.
Mac Jones was hitting the deep end, like, two of, it wasn't necessarily the RPO slant, but it was more like the deep digs.
Yeah.
I mean, just all day long. Just, and we've watched Oregon's front give other teams a ton of trouble. Didn't give Alabama's trouble. Like, they ran the football, they threw the ball. It was
Auburn,
their defense. We've seen Auburn's front give other teams trouble, and Alabama just carved them up. Like, so I actually don't ding Alabama that much.
They dropped 7 spots.
That's crazy.
Of a 3-point loss.
That's also, the thing.
To a team that you're saying is pretty good.
Alabama.
On the road.
Alabama was really close with LSU.
It feels weird to defend Alabama.
And close with Auburn. Wisconsin was nowhere near Ohio State, got destroyed, and lost to a team that's not sniffing the top 25.
No.
And well, here's another one, too.
Lovie Smith still at Illinois? Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Houston, you said there's no way Bama could be ahead of Auburn in that scenario with the committee, right? Penn State is 8 spots higher than Minnesota. Minnesota beat them head up.
More dominant performance than Auburn over Alabama.
I mean,
and Minnesota's 10-2.
Who did Minnesota lose to this past weekend?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
And Penn State's
10-2. And a rain game, right? Which is like Wisconsin's. It's like their bread and butter. They see rain on the forecast, all those dudes just start licking their chops.
Just trying to take everything into account. I guess the committee was saying, you know, Alabama, they did play LSU close. They did play Auburn close. But their best win is Texas A&M or Tennessee.
Well, that was their problem going into the season, and everybody said it. You didn't schedule anybody, Nick. You have no room for error. I'd say they got a little bit of a free pass on the LSU thing. And then you've lost to Auburn. And I don't know if it's – I mean, it was kind of a coaching deal that got it, you know, that lost you the game. And the clock expires because you have too many men on the – you know. Or got it was able to expire due to the automatic first down. Is that a – sorry, Saban, not this time.
All right. Your mortgage is on the line. Alabama's playing Wisconsin, neutral field tomorrow.
Bama.
Yeah.
Buddy. Like, this is my whole thing with the rankings, though. Like,
they're 4 spots apart.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. They have to. I still don't think the committee has done, and I feel like it changes week to week. They have not done a good job of explaining exactly what the rankings mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're asking me who the best teams are, I'm going to rank it a lot differently than how I think they should be ranked right now based on who you've played and who you've lost to. And you know,
resume,
like it all changes. But I swear the committee has different like rules and kind of points for each team and each conference. It's not the same. I mean, look, Ohio State has played really, really well all year. Can we really say they have more quality wins and a better strength of schedule and have been more impressive than LSU?
No.
That's what I'm like. So what is it exactly?
No, I would have LSU ahead of Ohio State.
No, I would too. That's why that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand. But then you're going to have Georgia at 4. Well, wait a minute. If Georgia's impressive enough to be at 4 because they're in the SEC and they schedule well, then why is LSU not number 1? They've beaten Alabama. They beat Texas, who, in fairness, Texas stinks now. But they've rolled. They beat Florida by 2 touchdowns. Auburn. They beat A&M by 1,000,000. They beat Auburn in a really good game.
Am I misremembering something? ESPN in their sidebar in their NCAA football news has a little blurb that says this: Number 1 Ohio State set for a quote dogfight versus number 8 Wisconsin for Big Ten title. And here's the subheading: Wisconsin gave Ohio State a scare earlier this season. For one of the few times the top-ranked Buckeyes were challenged in the second half of a game. The final was 38-7.
Was it? Did Fields go down for like a play or something? Was that the scare?
No, that was Michigan.
Here's
Like what?
I mean, that's bad.
What? Like did somebody wrote that and like didn't watch the games, right?
It was 10-0 at halftime. Wisconsin scored.
So it was 10-7.
3 minutes into the third
quarter.
Okay,
so there you go. 10-7.
10-7. But then 3 minutes later, Ohio State scored a touchdown. 3 minutes later, Ohio State scored a touchdown. It was 24-7.
In fairness, Ohio State, for most of the season, has been a fairly slow starting team, which is actually amazing considering the margin of victory they've been able to roll up.
Yeah.
Because it always takes them like a quarter or so to kind of get going, except against Michigan because they hate Michigan and they're ready to roll for Michigan. But that's what's weird is how quickly they can – you know, you think you got them, right? Oh, 10-7, here we go. 28 straight.
Here's what.
But LSU
it is.
Can do that too. Like, that's what I don't understand. And LSU's been more consistent start to finish in most of their games. Like, I don't think LSU's laid a stinker of a game out there and almost lost. And they've had better competition, in my opinion.
I don't recall a single year where everyone just looked at the playoff rankings the week before championship week and was like, yep, I completely agree. That's probably the way it should be. I understand that.
But here, their rules change every year.
That is true.
That's what I don't
know. I'll give you that. But at the same time, I do think once it's all said and done, the top four teams are the ones that have been getting in. When you're looking at,
like, there hasn't been oh my gosh, what the H are you doing?
Well, there's always someone every year that moans and complains.
Someone, but I think as a consensus,
I would agree for the most part.
Right now, what it is,
except when Notre Dame gets in,
if it's not this crazy, if it was just like, oh yeah, this is probably the way it should be, we're not having these discussions.
Okay, rankings and resume kind of aside, just eyeball test. Who are the top four teams in the country? I think we all agree LSU and Ohio State are 1 and 2 in some order. Correct?
Yeah. Probably then, like, Clemson and Oklahoma.
That's the problem. I think the order matters in this scenario, though. I think I'd rather.
No, I just want to know who you're. Just give me your four teams.
I'm just saying I would rather play the four seed than Clemson.
What are your four teams?
Is Clemson in your top four? The Billy Willis for top four?
I think you have to because they're undefeated. I mean,
they're in my top four. I'm just curious. I'm just
based
making
on
sure.
Eyeball test. I don't know. You can make an argument for.
Yeah, everyone's like blaming Clemson because they haven't turned it on. Really, they haven't really had to except one time against North Carolina.
So that's hard to judge Clemson. But yeah,
I agree.
They'd be in there.
But they're the defending champ. They're undefeated.
And then I would probably. I don't know. Utah's looked very impressive, man. I'd probably put Utah in there
over Oklahoma.
My four teams would be LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Utah.
I think that'd be my four.
I'm honestly the four spots. It's a struggle.
Are you at Oklahoma instead of Utah?
Well, that's definitely not Georgia. It's between Oklahoma and Utah, but I'm really not sure which one I'd pick.
In my head, from a branding standpoint,
my
brain
it's Oklahoma.
Says Oklahoma's better. When I look at results on the field, Utah has just played better this season than Oklahoma. We went through it yesterday. They've had like so many close games, and they look great. Like, you can turn it on and watch for 10 minutes, and Oklahoma looks like they can win the national championship. But then if you watch a different 10 minutes, you're like, man, they remind me of Georgia in some ways. Georgia can like $1 million for 10 minutes.
Okay, give Oklahoma a month to prep for the game. Does that change anything for you?
Not really.
Like, after a month to prep and prepare, do you think they have those, like, stinker moments, or do you think are they better? And is Utah just Utah? Because I feel like Utah's just Utah. There's Utah. There's out here, pretty good run game, good defense, quarterback's
all
right.
It's going to boil down. If these two teams somehow win in everyone's mind the exact same way, with the exact same value on Saturday or Friday night, or whenever they play. If they are even.
They play for the fourth spot.
The question's going to come down to every committee member's mind and everyone's opinion around the country.
Money. Oh.
Are you a... you deserve it guy, or are you they have a higher ceiling, they're the better team guy? Because if you think, if you're picking the team that can play the best, it's obviously Oklahoma.
Correct.
But if you're picking the team that has over 12 games, the better resume, deserves it more, it's Utah. And it's going to be
Is that true, though?
Nightmare.
Isn't it? I mean, margin of victory, yes. But if you're just taking like wins and losses and who they've played, it's really close.
Well, Utah...
both losses to an 8-4 team, if I'm not mistaken.
They only have one loss. And
no, I'm saying both losses
for
each team.
And Utah's starting running back was out against USC.
He was?
He's their best
That's
player.
A big deal. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's a big deal.
He's the one that makes their offense go.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's the question. Who wins in a matchup between Utah and Oklahoma?
I'd love to see what the line would be, like the hypothetical line. In
you
my
sure
head,
it's not out there.
I'm sure it exists somewhere.
The only problem with the line is that it always does favor the big brand team because people are more likely to bet on a team that they feel
see
like.
A lot.
Like Alabama right. always gets like the line. The line against LSU should in Alabama should have been a pick 'em. And the game was basically a pick'em type of back and forth game when Tua played and all that kind of stuff. But it was like Alabama 6.5 because people trust Alabama.
Wasn't LSU up like monster in the first half?
Yeah, but I mean, still there was that play on the sideline with the, with Moss and
Mouse.
You know, so I think those teams will be pretty even. The teams that have given Oklahoma trouble played good defense, forced turnovers. Like you know, the TCU's, Kansas State's, like the. That,
Georgia would be a 1.5. This is as close as I can get. Georgia would be a 1.5 favorite over Utah. Do we think Georgia would be favorite over Oklahoma?
Yeah.
By what? About the same? So is that a pick 'em? Or I mean, would they just say Utah, Oklahoma is an absolute coin flip pick 'em right
Utah
now?
If Utah beats Oregon by 10 and Oklahoma beats Baylor by 7, the committee is screwed because they're going to be wrong with 40% of people.
Yeah.
No matter what they do. Now, they'll probably just pick Oklahoma.
Chaos isn't a pit.
They'll probably just pick Oklahoma and Utah. It'll be like, sorry, Utah. When you're Utah, you got to go undefeated. And that's probably what would happen. But, man, I'd feel bad for the Utes.
I'm going to have to do some research. Strength of schedule and all that nonsense.
I got some more thoughts on these matchups too.
If it comes down to it's an absolute coin flip game, it's dead even. What do we do? It's who's going to make you the most money, right? Like then it's Oklahoma. Like we know the answer. If it's a tie, hell, even if Utah's a little bit more impressive, but just a little bit more impressive than Oklahoma, and they both win, I still think Oklahoma jumps them.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. It's 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, fan-run radio. Today's broadcast of 3 and Out brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Become a member. They're helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. I do think it matters on some level that Utah is ahead of Oklahoma right now. I would think because they're both going to play a quality opponent. If Utah wins by 21 and Oklahoma wins by field goal, it's got
to
be Utah.
That, I think, would be enough to get Utah in, I think.
And, of course, that's pending a Georgia loss.
Captain Touchback tweeted in, what's the most likely crazy thing to happen this weekend? Georgia beats LSU, Wisconsin beats Ohio State, Baylor beats Oklahoma, or Oregon beats Utah?
Well, I think Oregon's the most talented team on paper out of all the underdogs to me. And they're playing one of the weaker opponents.
You think Oregon's more talented than Georgia? Or are you saying that
but if Georgia beats LSU, LSU's still in. So I'm not really counting that. Like if Georgia wins...
Anybody
really
giving Virginia a shot over Clemson?
Oh, a shot over Clemson? I don't think from
like
a national consensus. Maybe
like,
some Virginia
feels like
people.
Yeah. Feels like Dabo's been worrying about all the wrong stuff this week. I don't know. I'm not saying they'll win, but that one, I could see Virginia hanging around.
Virginia's 23rd in the rankings. They're 9-3.
They're 9-3?
To Captain Touchbacks. Yeah, they lost to Notre Dame. They should have beat Notre Dame.
They should have beat Notre Dame.
Shake things up a little bit. But
that's about 15.
I mean, Baylor, they finally put it on somebody this past weekend where they beat Kansas 61-6. But before then, all their games had been close. So I think as far as a game that you might see some shakeup, as Baylor's been able to keep it close, that Oklahoma team, even though
that's the one I picked. I've picked that as the most likely. I mean, Baylor, if they score in the second half in the first game, they beat Oklahoma. They were up, 31-7, 31-3?
That was like 28-3.
It was big. They were rolling.
I think it was the same score as the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl.
I thought they were in the 30s. I don't know.
I thought it was 31-3 or something.
It was 28-3 at halftime.
Okay.
Did it get to 31-3 to start the second half?
It was 34-28. I think it was the final, right?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, 30, 34-31.
Of course, that was one of those games where Oklahoma just kept turning it over. Baylor kept scoring. And then Oklahoma stopped turning it over, and they looked like the Oklahoma team that we think they can be. But to your point from all week, it's been the inconsistency of Oklahoma. You can't trust them. That's quarter to quarter, problem. Half to half. You just can't trust Oklahoma. I mean, that's the one I picked.
I mean, Oregon has the most stars, recruiting stars. They've got a star quarterback. Like, I feel like, I mean, Oregon really should have, if Oregon beats Auburn to start the season, they're in this conversation. One loss. It would have been that weird game where Arizona State got way out ahead and they cut it all the way back to three. But I would think a three-point loss on the road to Arizona State with the feather in your cap of beating Auburn, a non-conference game, Oregon would be right up there. And the winner of Utah-Oregon would have a great case to be the fourth seed anyway. So, I mean, to me, like, Oregon's, you know, they beat Washington and Washington State both in close games. But they have, I mean, they have the ability to play at a really high level at any moment, too. Their problem has been, you know, finishing off games and consistency. And really, I mean, when you look at that game control metric, like, they won the game control in game one against Auburn and couldn't close the deal and lost 27-21. And then they just came out flat and didn't show up against Arizona State for 3.5 quarters.
Which is weird.
We're down big. Came all the way back, cut it to three, couldn't get the onside kick. That's going to end up being their Achilles heel, and why they won't be in the playoff. But I think Oregon over Utah is the pick for me. Like, to me, that's the most likely thing to happen. But I don't think.
Yeah, I guess that one doesn't seem that. Honestly, neither does Baylor over Oklahoma.
No.
What was the line for that in the first matchup? Do you remember?
No, but I'll look it up for you.
Baylor, I mean, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Do you remember? I think we picked that game.
I thought it was 10.
It was 10. You're right. So Oklahoma was a 10-point favorite. Got down big, came back and won. What's the Utah-Oregon line? I feel like Oregon's probably favored, right? No, Utah by 6.5.
Yeah,
didn't see that one coming. The matchup predictor only has FPI on ESPN, only has Utah as a 51.1% favorite. That number seems kind of odd. On paper, these two teams are really even, especially offensively. Baylor was less than a yard difference total per game.
Baylor was up 31-10 at halftime on Oklahoma. They did not score a point in the second half. They lost 34-31.
So they have 31 in the first half?
Yep.
Okay.
And Oklahoma was a 10.5 point favorite.
It was 31-3 at one point, though, wasn't it? Or 31-7?
Maybe.
No, it couldn't have been 31-7.
It was 31-10 at the half.
It might have been 28-3.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, Falcons, Patriots.
That would have made sense.
But then they got another field goal before the half?
Yeah, and Oklahoma gave up a touchdown, yeah. So what's Oklahoma favored this week?
Ah, let us find out.
9.
So pretty much leaving it the same.
The game's at noon on ABC.
LSU is a 7.5 point favorite against Georgia. Clemson's a 29 point favorite.
29?
Yeah. Against top 25.
I got 28.5.
Dive on the 28.5. What about Ohio State?
16.5.
And in a way, this is Clemson's problem. It's like, yeah, the championship game, you're a 29 point favorite because your schedule and your conference are butt.
I mean, sort of, but it's still the 23rd best team in the country, according to the committee.
No, I know. I'm with you. I'm just saying, what does that say about, the parity in college football, and is that just like a... I mean, 9-3, that's not a bad record for Virginia. I mean,
Georgia lost to South Carolina.
I know.
Clemson was a 28.5 point favorite against South Carolina at their place.
Covered
the spread. Georgia lost to them in Sanford State.
I know, at home, yeah.
So, like, they're one spot ahead of them.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not out on Clemson. I think Clemson might just be rope-a-doping everybody. Like,
Clemson could be number one if it was a different year and Ohio State and LSU hadn't been so impressive. Clemson could easily be number one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could make the argument that they should be, honestly. It's like, hey, they haven't played anybody, but they've looked really good except one close game. It seems like most of these teams have had one close game. Now, their one close game was against North Carolina, who's not good. But it was a new coach and new quarterback who, by the way, broke the ACC freshman record for touchdown passes.
Yeah, could have been our.
I know. Could have been Tennessee Vol.
This is very random, but I also think it's interesting. But so the ACC, they have the Coastal and the Atlantic. Think of it like the SEC has the East and the West.
Right? Yes, divisions.
This year, they completed the cycle for 7 years.
Okay.
In the Coastal Division, to where each team from that division played in the championship game. So, like, in 2013, Duke played 14 Georgia Tech, 15 North Carolina, 16 Virginia Tech, 17 Miami, 18 Pittsburgh, and then this year, Virginia.
That's actually amazing.
So that's basically, like, Tennessee making it 1 year, Florida, Georgia, Vanderbilt.
Kentucky, but
yes.
That's amazing.
Unreal.
So they completed the cycle.
Huh. Fixed.
All teams made it. But then again, none of them won. It was just Florida State or Clemson that won.
State They're so woke. They just shared it, participated.
The last time
the meeting 8 years ago has come to fruition. Good job, everyone. You're all going to lose. You're going to lose, but you're going to get there.
Yeah, the last time Clemson or Florida State did not win was 2010 when Virginia Tech won it, and that was over Florida State. But the last time that for the Atlantic Division, Clemson or Florida State wasn't representing, it was 2008 with Boston College.
Yikes.
2008. Was that Matt Ryan?
I want to say...
I think so. It would have had to be.
Well, they were in 2007 as well. I don't know if he was in it
one
for
of those
both years.
Was definitely
I know he was there for 2007. I think he might have gone pro before 08.
I think you're
but
right.
I
think
could
he
be wrong.
Did they win it? They won it that year?
No, Boston College lost to Virginia Tech both times.
Oh, okay.
Here's my is a separate tangent. All these morons that are like, yeah, let's go to eight teams and the conference champions automatically get in. Da, 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 da. None of those people remember when the Orange Bowl used to always have to take the Big East or the ACC champ or both. And you'd have an unranked team upset a like 19th ranked team, and you'd take a conference champ that's nowhere near the top eight teams. Like, can we just take the top? I don't care how big the playoff is and your little like way you want to fix it. Can we just take that many top teams? They don't have to be a conference champion. Like, if Oregon wins.
I'm okay with them not having to be a conference champion.
But you take all the conference champions, you're going to get yourself in trouble 1 year when the ACC champ is unranked. Because it's happened
lot. But then you can take the team they beat still, assuming that their record's not bad enough.
But you have to take this really crappy team.
Okay, well, they earned their way in, kind of.
Not really. Not if they
beat
not if they play in this terrible division.
They
and just
beat it,
got
if,
one
but if
game.
They beat the team you thought was going to win that close to the end of the season, it's
okay,
the postseason, baby.
What if they're
well, it's either that or okay, then a,
what if they're
then
both
a, okay, then a
the
team then a team that loses the conference championship can't go.
Well, that makes no sense because then you don't want to get
okay.
there. Just take the best at X amount of teams. However,
but
you
have
you
to have
take.
Some type of qualifier. Jordan,
no,
Jordan tweets
don't.
In and says, you guys are thinking too hard. SEC wants the money. Georgia will get all the calls. Georgia will beat LSU.
Well, we kind of led with that early. Like, is Sankey going to,
I mean,
put the call in?
Wouldn't that be a little greedy to go for two again? I mean, haven't we tried? We've done it enough. Georgia, Bama. No, I'm sorry. Georgia was not in that 1 year. We've had Georgia, Bama.
That's it.
And LSU, Bama for the title. That was not in the playoff.
Yeah,
that was one of the last years of the BCS.
Yeah. We'll come back. Last segment of Hour 1. Right back at you next here on 3 and Out. Final segment. Hour number 1, 3 and Out. We fixed the playoffs. This is a joint proposal of 3 and Out. Davey Hudson throughout the...
He reminded us of one of our old hot takes.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said it, I immediately remembered how much I enjoyed that.
So one of our, you know, our hometown hockey partner, the Knoxville Ice Bears, in their league, the higher seed gets to pick the opponent. And we talked about, like... You know, we've thrown out a couple teams. Okay, you got to pick who do you think would win the game. And a lot of times we pick the kind of the scarier team, the team that can that has more talent and can play better is kind of who you would pick if you had to pick, not necessarily the most deserving team. So I know this isn't mainstream at all, but I'm on the 12-team playoff train because it doesn't – if you go to 12 – the top four can get a complete bye in round one. So it kind of people say 12, that's too many. You're going to ruin the regular season. Well, when you have four getting a bye, you're really going to play for the top four during the regular season. There's not going to be any, like everyone's still going to be on the edge of their seat final game. Also, like, I know it didn't really matter this year, but if that Florida-Florida State game, let Florida State have been better this year, like, that game would have mattered because Florida's playing for their top 12 spot. So it actually improves the regular season, the more teams you have in the playoff. I know people don't like – I mean, unless you went to, like, 32 or something. Like, I get it. In the NCAA basketball, there's so many games that it does kind of water down the regular season for the best teams. But really, if you went to 8, which a lot of people like, or if you went to 12, the regular season would have more meaningful games. And with 12 – playing for the top four bye spots would be just, I mean, crucial. It'd be a whole thing. Like, can any team even win it? You know, not like coming out of the 5-12 range, all that kind of stuff. You'd preserve some of the elite status of these teams that are really good. And then Davey reminded us, and I think this is key, because I had said, if you go to 12, four teams get a bye. 5-8 host the first round against 9-12. The winners move on. However, you reseed the bracket. So if 12 beats 5, instead of 12 getting to play the 4, 12's now got to play the 1. But Davey reminded us that in hockey, in the Ice Bears,
SPHL,
they get to pick their opponent. And I think that would just add so much more drama to college football. Like, Ed Orgeron to the podium. It'd be kind of like FIFA when they do the draw, and it's like a television event.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have all the coaches have to get on a teleconference. The 1-4 coaches, they would pick their opponent.
Well, 1-3, because 4 would just be set. But, yeah.
So they would pick their opponent. They'd get questioned on why you picked that team and not another team.
I have chosen that the LSU Tiger will play Utah. Go Tiger.
They can't throw the football very well.
They can't throw it. We stopped the run. They ain't beating anybody like us in a long time.
I mean, it would be gold. Pick your opponent. Then you've got round two. Can you imagine a playoff game at Neyland Stadium? I mean, think about it. Think about how loud stadiums are just on regular, like, bigger games that don't even have playoff implications.
It'd be so great.
I mean, people were talking about tennis. What was the game? People were so shocked. It was a South Carolina game, right? Saying that Neyland was so loud for Tennessee, South Carolina this year.
It's a great crowd.
Just
it was a great night.
Tennessee had gotten a taste of maybe turning this season around. Like, we might make a bowl. It's going to be the loudest this thing's been in 10 years. Like, are you kidding me? A playoff game?
And you'd playoffs?
You'd have two rounds of that. Because you'd have the 5-12 round. Then you get the home. Then you'd have your top eight home field round, and then it would give the final four kind of that meaning again, and they'd play neutral sites like they do now. And get out of here with the they can't play extra games. You know what the FCS has done this year, despite the double bye weeks for the big boys?
They expand their playoff again.
They played 12 games in 13 weeks. Everybody got one bye. Started the playoffs last week, and they have 24 teams in it with the top eight getting a bye. So come on, it'd be incredible.
But no, I mean, that's it. We just did it. First round bye for the top four. They will then host in round two. 5-8 host in round one. 1-4 after round one, pick their opponent. Well, 1-3, 4 would obviously.
I'd like to see this situation. I'd like to see all conferences go to a 9-game conference schedule.
And go ahead and tell me how this makes the regular season worthless. Because guess who's 13 right now?
And do away with divisions.
Who's 13 right now?
Oregon. Think this championship game in the Pac-12 would be less important or more important with a 12-team playoff? I mean, good grief. Like, it's important now because Utah can get in, but it'd be more important under that because Utah might fall all the way out.
Well, in that conversation, too, you got Notre Dame sitting around right there. And, like, I mean, I don't care for Notre Dame, but
being in a conference would cost them a playoff spot this year in this scenario. They're sitting at 15,
I like that.
And they can't move up.
Probably more in other years, too, when there's a lot of
one of the national writers was talking about how, like, this, you know, these conference championship games are dumb because we got so many rematches this year, and it's like, well, if you had a bigger playoff, they would really matter because these teams, like Georgia, would be playing for a bye. You know, they'd be in. So there, it'd be the drama would just be different. Also, another pet peeve: anybody that uses 1 year scenario to justify their entire playoff argument, no matter what it is an idiot. Well, this year, this is the only, like, you have to account for other stuff.
What do you explain?
Well, like this is Wetzel or Ford. I don't know, one of those, you know, guys who was saying, like, we need to do away with conference championship games because this year we got a lot of rematches that don't matter. It's like, well, some years they're not rematches. Some years it's like all LSU-Georgia type matchup. Like, what if Georgia was undefeated? Like, LSU-Georgia would matter. It matters this year anyway. But what he was saying
there's Ohio rematches, State, but doesn't the matter. Rematch for Baylor is Oklahoma, a great Baylor opportunity. It does matter, though. If Baylor wins that and avenges their only loss, you can almost look at them as an undefeated team, like if you wanted to. I'm not saying you have to.
I agree with you.
What's the other? Ohio State, Wisconsin? Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, okay, that one doesn't really matter. But does it really matter who Ohio State plays in the Big Ten right now? Because they've kind of been killing everybody. So if you want to say, hey, you're undefeated, and the team you played, you beat by more than 14, you don't have to play them again. Like, you get the conference championship bye, but you're awarded conference champion status? What do you think about getting rid of divisions? It wouldn't matter in the SEC this year. If they go to a nine-game conference schedule, it'd be a little easier.
I think some conferences need to be a little bit of realignment. Because, like, the Big 12, you got 10.
I wish they'd go – I wish they'd all go to 8. But not be able to play the ninth one. Like, I kind of like what some of the other conferences on there said, you can't play the FCS team or the whatever. Like, I don't. It was. It's not a mandate per se. Oh,
well, I'm fine with that if they go just like you're just playing Power Five schools. Yeah, I mean, that's been my take from the start. Like, hey,
because
like,
I think we need more. More big non-conference games to rate these teams. Not more.
I agree with that.
Games.
I agree with that.
We need more of the Oregon versus Auburn type matchups. Not. Another game where Auburn plays Vanderbilt.
Can we not get them always to start the season? Like, can we start sprinkling more of these in, like,
midway,
first of November, midway October, so that teams can kind of get their footing a little bit before it's – I mean, because –
Yeah, and at least if we lose those games, we're not paying the other team.
Yeah, no kidding.
There you go.
Of course, then the FCS teams will be like, well, that's how we pay for all of our stuff.
Yeah, the problem is none of that would happen unless
you – Well, then you just invite the FCS team to play your spring game against you, pay them for that. Which we've also talked about on this show.
Even
they
better.
Get their money. You get a spring game that matters, and you can add an extra Power 5 opponent to your schedule.
You could even add an exhibition game before the season started.
My guess is they wouldn't go for that, but I would go for that.
Billy's back. He's got the wasabi. Davey, hope you're hungry. We'll kick off hour 2 next.